Greetings of love this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the one that has made it possible we can gather together and worship. I count it a privilege to gather with the people of God to worship God, something that's been very meaningful to me through life, and always has been. I think sometimes we talk about going to church, and I know I do it myself, but really, it's not going to church, it's the church getting together. And we are the church whether we are in the building where we meet or not. I was reading a book, it's an older book, and there it talked about the meeting house. It didn't talk about the church house, it was the meeting house. And it's a privilege to gather with the people of God to worship, to appreciate what has been shared with us. Certainly, I don't think he should apologize for what he shared. I think it's been something that's been very good for all of us to understand some of the needs that are there and what is the impact we have on those that we meet. What is God able to do through us? I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Begin reading at verse 26 through the remainder of the chapter. And we want to look at the subject of anger this morning. What it is, how we believe should be relating to it. It's something that I believe is a part of all of us. Something that I have to deal with. I have my doubt this morning. If anybody is here that doesn't need to, say, don't think they do, they probably do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We do have a number of verses here that relate to anger. If I'd have read this portion and asked you what is probably the verse that comes to you, or that you know, might say stands out to you among the rest of the verses, probably many of us would say it's verse 32. It's a verse that probably many of us have memorized for many years. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I read a book, some time ago by Dwight Carlson. It was in relation to anger. He was a medical doctor, a psychologist, and he dealt a lot with what the effects of anger have on the physical life. That is not necessarily what my burden is this morning. As we think of anger and its effect, it is more in relation to anger in our spiritual life. He would claim there's many people have had strokes and have died simply because of anger that has not been controlled, and I believe it is possible. I had my grandfather in a fit of rage and talking to his wife in a very unbecoming way, had a stroke, and that's how he passed away. And we're not only, you know, it's not only an isolated case, but is anger sin? What do we think of when we think of anger. Coming back to verse 26, he says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." There is a song that's not in, I'm not sure if it's in the books, we have today. It's "Christian, walk carefully. Danger is near." It's a song I think of sometimes when I think of this subject. That it's, I do not believe that anger in itself is sin. If we were going to go to the Bible and find the word anger and words that represent anger in the Old Testament, for example, there's different words that express anger and maybe different degrees of anger in the original writings. The same as we have in the English. You know, for example, we have indignation, we have anger, wrath, and rage, and we may look at these words and say there's degrees. A person that, you know, has indignation, there's a stirring of his emotions, and when it comes to wrath, usually we think of the person that has gone on to expressing his emotions in actions that are uncontrolled. And so again, we come back to the question of anger. Is it sin? In the Old Testament, anger, or the word that originally gives the thought of anger, is given about 455 times, and about 375 times it is God that has expressed anger. And God is righteous. The person today that feels he's safe because God is a God of love, and so God would never allow anybody to go to hell, is in a very dangerous position. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. But let's never deceive ourselves in believing that God is going to overlook sin and evil, and that we're safe because God is not going to deal with sin. There's many other verses. We'll just maybe read a few of them that have to do with anger. And there is this that we need to, I believe, look at as we think of anger. And that is, the Bible always puts a warning. It seems like there's a warning that goes with it. For example, in James 1, it says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Matthew 25, it warns us that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. And Colossians 3:8, it says, "But now he also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice." Psalms 37:8, it says, "Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Proverbs 14:7, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And I believe we would say that all these verses with anger give the thought of caution, of danger, something that we need to be sensitive to. Well, again, we come back to the question, is anger sin? The Bible tells us over and over again where God is angry. And we are created in the image of God. I guess this is how I see anger. And God has created us with emotions. Some of the very same emotions that God has himself. And God has, I believe, when in creating man, He has given us an emotion. I believe that anger is the strongest emotion that we possess. And I do not believe that anger in itself is sin. To have that emotion is not wrong. I believe it's an emotion that God has given to us. There is a reason for that emotion. And as we relate to it properly, I believe it's a blessing. I believe anger is an emotion that can be so destructive, but it can be constructive. And those are some of the things that we want to look at this morning as we think of this subject of anger. And do we use it as an emotion, and are we constructive when this emotion is raised? Do we deal constructively, or do we deal destructively? A few years ago, a neighbor, I guess not a real close neighbor, but a neighbor had shot his wife. First time he shot her, he didn't kill her, so he shot her the second time, and then he called the police and told them he shot his wife. And of course the question was, why did you shoot your wife? And he told the police, because she didn't flush the toilet. She wouldn't flush the toilet. It was a result of anger. But I do not believe that this was an incident, that because she didn't just flush the toilet, that he shot her. But I believe that people respond to anger in different ways. Sometimes we have the feeling that anger is wrong. So rather than properly expressing our anger, we cover it up. In other words, we just kind of live with it. And this, I believe, is where anger and forgiveness are very similar, and I'm not sure how to divide it, and I'm not sure if it is even divided, that unforgiveness and anger that is just covered up is very similar, and it builds up, and it builds up. And finally, maybe for some small incident that is very insignificant, it explodes. And a person does something that he would have never thought of doing. And it is also said that I believe it's neighborhood, again, I guess I'm not big on statistics, but it is said that 40% of the women that are murdered in America today, or is it, I'm not sure, it might be 70%, I should have wrote that down, are murdered because of this type of anger. In other words, it's kind of an unforgiveness. It's like building. You become angry and you just kind of, you know, we're not going to do anything. And so it happens again, and it builds and it builds until finally it explodes. And I believe this is why, this is one of the reasons we do have the verses, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And that is that anger, the same as forgiveness, needs to be worked through. It isn't something that we can just convince ourselves maybe this is nothing, and then we keep it in our life, and then we build the next one on top of it, and we go on. One thing that the Bible is clear on, and that is that anger needs to be resolved. It needs to be put away. One person has said that there's more than one definition of verse 26 when it says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil has more than one definition. And the other definition he gave, which I would have, I guess, always felt like he's simply saying that the anger needs to be put away. But he took it on to say that when a person becomes angry, it's an activator. In other words, an angry person feels pressure to do something. It's something that is natural. And I believe this is a part of anger that can be good. It activates us to do something. A person that never gets angry doesn't sense that urgency or that pressure that something needs to be done. And so when he says, be angry and sin not, simply saying to evaluate. In other words, when we become angry, rather than doing something right away, let's understand why am I angry? I believe that we need to reckon with that emotion. We need to ask the question, why am I angry? What is it that has made me angry? God becomes angry. And I believe God's anger is justified. And I believe it's appropriate. God is righteous and his anger is appropriate. It's justified. I don't believe that ours always is. There's one difference I believe we need to understand between our anger and God's anger, and that is God is all-knowing. God knows the beginning from the end. God is all-knowing. We are not. And I've heard people use the example of Jesus purging the temple when he drove them out. He made cords and he drove the merchants out of the temple and said his house needs to be a house of prayer. And they've made it a den of thieves, and they call it righteous indignation, and they become angry and do things that they ought not to do and justify it. Well, Jesus became angry. I do not believe that we can justify our anger in relation to what God did or what Jesus did. I believe we need to evaluate our anger in relation to what caused our anger, and we need to respond to it in a way that is constructive. Take, for example, a parent in the home. I don't believe that parents enjoy disciplining their children. I never did. But your child does something and it stirs your emotion, stirs your anger. I've heard people say that you should never discipline your children in the state of anger. Well, it depends, I think. I'm certainly not saying this morning that I should think we should beat our children or be in any way unreasonable. But I do believe here is a situation where God has given us an emotion to stir us to do something. And I've known in my own experience, and maybe my children would all agree with this, that if you don't relate to the cause and what should be done, and we put it off, it's easy just not to do it. We don't enjoy it. It's not something we enjoy doing. And so, you know, once the emotion is gone, that drive to do something is gone, and so we don't do it. But what can happen is that the next time the child does the same thing, we build on that anger. And then if we let it go again, it builds. And finally, we get the strap out and we go to work. And it's a little like this person shooting his wife. You know, we don't relate the incident necessarily. It's the child don't go back and think, well, he did it now and he did it, you know, the second time, the third time. And so this is taking care of all three of them. But it's an unreasonable discipline sometimes because we allow it to build up. And so here, I believe, is where we need to understand. We need to understand the cause. I believe that we need to understand why is this emotion. And what is the constructive? What is the thing that should be done for the good of the child? It's not because I've been embarrassed, but for the good of the child. The discipline should be appropriate with the wrong that has been committed. Now, going back again to God and the anger of God, we can go back to the example of Moses going into the mount, being with God, and the children of Israel building this golden calf that they built. And in Exodus 32:10 it says, God told Moses, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and I will consume them. In other words, God was simply asking Moses to kind of step out of the way, and he would just simply get rid of this people that has. And what had happened, they were taking the glory away from God and giving it to this golden calf. And Moses pled with God, and God responded to Moses' appeal. Moses came down out of the mount, and when he seen the people dancing and worshiping, says as Moses came nigh into the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he broke the tables that God had put the Ten Commandments on. And I'm not here to justify or condemn Moses, but we do see here that anger is a strong emotion. And God created us in His likeness. We have that emotion. We do not have all the insights that God has. And so let's not say because God is angry, we can do what God did. But let's remember that we are created with an emotion that is for our good. And when we become angry, let's stop and think before we do something. God's anger is justified and appropriate. And I believe God wants our anger to be justified and appropriate. We have the example of Saul being angry with David, because after he killed Goliath and they gave David the praise of killing more people than he had himself, he felt like his glory was taken away and they were giving it to David. So was Saul glorified? Was Saul justified in what he did in trying to kill David? No. It was a wrong expression. It was a wrong response to what had happened. He was not justified in doing that. God was justified, and I believe, in his anger when the people took his glory and gave it to this golden calf, because he's God. Let's remember that we have a responsibility to gauge or to control. We have a responsibility to control that anger. While it is a natural, it's a natural response in a way, and yet it's not a natural response that God hasn't called us to be accountable for. We need to maybe somewhat say we have a regulator. It reminds me of a account somebody had given me. That was back years ago when they were using steam engines, and they claimed this one farmer, he could plow more ground than anybody else with a steam engine the same size. And this one person wondered, well, how this was working. He was interested enough. He went to visit him, but when he seen that what he was doing, he had changed his regulator so his pressure was higher in the steam engine than what they had built it for. But it wasn't very many years after that. He died because his engine exploded. It wasn't regulated properly. And I believe that can be true in our Christian experience. God has given us, I believe, an emotion for our good. And it should be for the good of others. But if we don't regulate that, and if we allow that emotion to control us, and we do things that are against the will of God, we feel that because we're angry, we're justified, and the person that has made us angry, or whatever, is a person that is wrong. Let's remember that we're going to stand before God and give an account to Him for our life. There's dangers in anger. You know, when a person becomes angry, he's often uncooperative. He doesn't want to work with others. He becomes critical of other people. I think these are symptoms that we need to be sensitive to. Sometimes become inefficient and intentionally inefficient. I don't care because I'm angry. I don't care what happens. Sometimes we're just obstructive, and he says it's white, I say it's black, because these are symptoms of anger that should not be part of our Christian experience. I do believe anger, again, as I said, has a positive, but it's not to be obstructive. It's not to be an I don't care person. You do what you want to, and I'm going to do as I please. Anger, I believe, God has given to us to be constructive, to do what is right, to give us that urge, that give us that push to respond properly. I believe when our emotion is stirred, I've said we need to think. I also think we need to pray. What is God's will for my expression? What I should do in releasing this emotion? Sometimes it is right just simply to forgive and forget and leave it there. But let's make sure when we do that we have left it there. That if it's forgiven and forgotten, that it is there. It's not something that we're building on for the next occasion and the next occasion. It is like forgiveness. It needs to be complete. The person that isn't willing to do that tends to build walls around himself to protect him from other people. This wall he builds keeps him in. This wall that he builds around himself makes him a controller of other people. And rather than controlling himself, he is trying to control what other people do, and yet it's not possible. I believe God has given us the ability to, by His grace and Spirit, to control our life, not everybody else. We must look at the context. I believe it is what our anger is based on and how our anger is expressed is what determines whether our anger is right or wrong. I believe what makes God angry, there's a sense, should stir our emotion. Where there is blasphemy against God, when people use God's name in vain, it should stir us. When we see needs in people, it should stir us to do something. But it needs to stir us in a right way, where there is compassion, where there is a desire to do what is right and not to express a selfish and an inappropriate response. One other thing with being humans, we need to understand, it's a little like when Balaam was riding his donkey and God had first asked him not to do it, and then he finally, because of his persistence, he allowed him to do it. It was said that as they're going through this, that the donkey went out of the way and he became angry and he beat his donkey. And then his donkey smashed his foot against the wall and became angry and beat his donkey. And then the donkey just lay down and he beat him again. And then God opened his eyes and he seen the angel there with that sword. And sometimes our lives are like this. Sometimes we feel we have legitimate reason to be upset, but we don't see the picture. We don't see the fullness. There's some things that we just don't understand. And I think we need to recognize that human part of ourselves, that maybe I'm not understanding it. Rather than becoming angry, let's lay it down, at least until we understand. Till we see the picture. We're not God. And it's very likely that we don't understand everything that comes before us. I believe it's right that we think, we pray, and we make proper decisions. In closing, just like to look at one more example, I believe, of proper response. And this is, we find in Nehemiah chapter 5, when the people came to Nehemiah and told Nehemiah that some of the Jews were taking advantage of some of the others. They were charging very high interest. They were taking advantage of them. They were making slaves out of their own people. And this is what Nehemiah heard. And it says that, "I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words." That was the response of Nehemiah. It says he became very angry. In other words, his emotions were raised. And then verse 7, it says that, "Then I consulted with myself." In other words, he thought about it. He didn't just go and do something right away, but he said he consulted with himself. He thought about this. What, you know, no doubt he tried to understand what is the proper response. And then it says he went and told these people that what they were doing was wrong. And the people responded to his request. I believe here is a response of anger that is right. It was constructive. It accomplished that which was for the good of all of them. And I believe this is the reason God gave us that emotion, is to help us to do what is right and what is good for everybody. Well, let's remember, as like the song says, that when the Christian walked carefully, danger is near. I believe we need to remember that when the emotion of anger is raised, it's a time that we need to come to God to find direction, to find leading in our response and our release of this, that what we do is for the good of each one, that it may build the church, it may build lives, that it may better our, you might say, the work that we're doing here, that we might accomplish God's will. It is not sin. It is sin when we respond wrongly. Let's kneel to pray.